Welcome to Sunday Worship. Today's story is about money, or at least it's the starting point of another conversation of Jesus and the Pharisees in Matthew's Gospel. Here is Vicky Birkby with the Bible reading, and then Ian will help us to reflect on the story. Ian Jennings, our associate minister. And then afterwards, our prayers will be led by Carlene Litchmore.
This week's reading is taken from Matthew 22, verses 15 to 22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with the truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In our gospel reading this morning, we have this remarkable conversation that takes place. The detractors of Jesus come to him with this question: is it right, is it lawful to pay taxes to Rome? It was deeply resented to pay taxes to Rome. Well, paying taxes is probably always deeply resented. But Rome was the overlord. The Gentile overlords that dictated their lives, that dominated their lives and robbed them of their freedom. So paying taxes to Rome was deeply resented by the Jewish nation, by the people of Israel. And so they come with this challenging question. Jesus answers it not only cleverly but profoundly. "Show me a coin." They produce a coin with the head of Caesar upon it. And Jesus says, "Whose is this image?" And they say, "Caesar's." And Jesus responds, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God." It's a profound and wonderful answer. They thought they had him trapped by this question. Of course they did. Because they thought if he said, "Yeah, pay your taxes," then the people would be implacably opposed to him, because paying taxes acknowledged the authority of the Roman dominion and overlordship of the people of God. However, if he said, "Don't pay your taxes," that would have put Rome against him with all its might and all its authority. They could then have taken the message to Rome, to the Roman governor, that this man is spreading sedition and telling the people not to pay their taxes to the Roman authorities. So they thought that they had him. They thought that they got him with the answer that he might give to this question. But the answer that he gives is so remarkable, so profound, and so far-reaching in its implications. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God. I picked up an old book. It's an old cherished book. It's falling to pieces now. It was given to me by my father-in-law in 1969. It's by E. Stanley Jones, and it's called The Secret of Victorious Living. It's a book of daily readings, and I've loved this book for years. However, I just picked it up casually from my bookshelf the other day, and out fell this, which was obviously using as a bookmark, and it happens to be a 100 lira Turkish banknote, a 100 lira Turkish banknote. And it reminded me of a holiday that we had when the children were very small. Paul was 7, Sarah was 5, a holiday in Turkey. And it produced memories that were not all joyous, because in the fortnight that we were there, 2 weeks, 10 days of that 2 weeks, I experienced the worst stomach bug, tummy bug that I've ever experienced in my life. That kind of put a blight on our holidays. So this just reminded me of that holiday. But also I was interested to see this picture of Kemal Atatürk on the banknote. Atatürk died in 1938. He was the man who was the architect of the modern Republic of Turkey, bringing Turkey into the modern era, was what it seemed that he had accomplished, and that was his focus. He is largely forgotten, and his reforms are largely forgotten. There he is, looking remarkably smart in his crisp white shirt and white dress bow tie. And who is he now? He is forgotten. He is gone. And his reforms that seem to be so radical and remarkable are also forgotten. He lies in the dust of history. When Jesus said, "Give to Caesar that which is Caesar's," he was saying, acknowledging, yes, the place of doing so, of course. But he was talking about that which is temporal, which ends in dust and decay, that has no eternal value. It's short-lived, it's temporal, it's temporary. But when he said, "Render to God the things that are God's," he was talking about that which is eternal, that which does not fade, that never fades, that continues to radiate the glory of God throughout all the unborn ages of eternity. It lasts and it continues to be a source of immense and immeasurable joy throughout eternity, begun now to end never. So render to God the things that are God's, Jesus said. Well, what is that? Well, of course, for us, it means our worship, the giving of our worship to God. It means the giving of our substance to God, our resources. It means the giving of our devotion to God. But essentially, it means the giving of ourselves, giving of ourselves to God, surrendering ourselves to the Lordship of Christ, and giving ourselves to God, because that is the path of unfading glory. That is the path of never diminishing joy. And though we go through our tough times, our difficult moments, coronavirus brings a cloud, a mist sometimes before our eyes as we think, how are we going to get through this? But day by day, we prove the worth of God's amazing grace, and we rest in God's incredible and insurpassable love. And we therefore render to God the things that belong to God. And that is ourselves, our very selves. Frances Ridley Havergal was a remarkable woman who wrote so many beautiful hymns. One day she read a little booklet called All for Jesus, and it set out a depth and fullness of Christian experience that she had not at that time experienced for herself, and it created in her a hunger for God. And she said, "I know that I do love Jesus, but I want to love him more. I do know that he is my Saviour, but I want to give him all of me. I want to be an all for Jesus Christian." That's a good phrase, isn't it? An all for Jesus Christian. No reservation and no compromise. All that we are, given to God. Render to God the things that are God's. And that is essentially to do with ourselves, our whole selves, giving ourselves away, because that's the path of assurance, that's the path of confidence in which we can walk through this world with a sense of our own worth, because our worth rests in the value that God places upon us. His love once set upon us cost him the blood of his own dear son. Therefore, his love will never let us go, even through the dark days of coronavirus. The love of God will never let us go. O love that wilt not let me go, I yield my flickering torch to thee, said George Matheson, the hymn writer. Yielding ourselves, rendering all that we are to God, is essentially what Jesus requires of us, and nothing less. But that is not some onerous and burdensome journey. That is a journey of joy and fulfillment as we live our lives in the will and presence of God. So yeah, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Pay your taxes, do the things that are right in this temporary and temporal world, but never forget the unfading vision of God's eternal glory, and render to God the things that are God, and that first and foremost is your whole self. Our whole being belongs to him. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's, said Paul in his writings to the Roman Christians. And so let us render to God that which belongs to God today and tomorrow and in all the days to come. May God bless you today. Amen.
Let us pray.
Heavenly Father, thank you that we can be assured that you will keep us under the shadow of your mercy. Especially in this time of uncertainty and distress, we pray for those who feel anxious and afraid, for those who are feeling low in spirit, mind, body, and soul. Help us to rejoice in your comfort, that we will remember that absolutely nothing can separate us from your perfect love for us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, your word said to love our neighbor and to care for those in need. Show us how to care. Give us strength to be a comforter and a friend to the sick, lonely, and bereaved. Give us a presence of mind to think of those who are feeling isolated, for those who are not able to be with us in church or fellowship, draw close to them. Dear Lord, as the struggle with bringing the coronavirus under control continues throughout the world, be present with those who are living in areas that are faced with increased restrictions to their daily lives. Give them patience and understanding so that they're able to cope and know that you are with them always. Give skill and wisdom to scientists who are trying to find a cure for the virus. We pray for all frontline workers. Protect and strengthen them. Ease any fear that they may be experiencing at this challenging time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for leaders of the world and all in authority. Inspire and direct them. Guide them to seek and do your will. We pray for Her Majesty the Queen and members of the royal family, for the Prime Minister, his cabinet, and all members of Parliament. We thank you for your continued protection of them. As the time draws close for us to leave the EU, give the negotiators a presence of mind to negotiate with wisdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Dear Lord, we pray for young people. Guide and protect them. We pray for those who are experiencing difficulties in their daily lives. Those who are away at universities, boarding school, and are experiencing being away from home for the first time. Ease their anxiety and comfort them. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.